you've ever wondered how the noun Luddite came into being, listen as linguist Jeff Nunberg tells us about some of the people whose names have become common nouns.
The Roman philosopher Boethius wrote that every man dies two deaths, the first of his body, the second of his fame. I guess most of us are lucky if that second death is put off for a full day, just long enough for our names to appear on the only page of the newspaper where the headlines are written in the past tense. Wolf J. Flywheel, 82, headed law enforcement agency. But occasionally, fate makes a special deal with some people that lets their names live on even after their fame has subsided. They don't have to sell their souls, just give up their capital letters and live on as common nouns. Take Charles C. Boycott, the 19th century Irishman who was the first victim of a new kind of commercial embargo. Historians have no reason to remember his name, but the etymologists are still keeping track of it. Likewise, Charles Lynch, the Virginia magistrate known for administering a sort of rough and ready justice that came to be called Lynch Law. Or take my favorite of all, Frau Bertha Krupp von Bohlen und Halbach, who gave her name to the piece of artillery that was the original Big Bertha. Sometimes a name comes down to us through a whole series of forgettings. Take Ned Ludd. The first bearer of that name was a fellow even less memorable than Boycott or Lynch. As the story goes, he was a feeble-minded workman who lived in a small town in Leicestershire at the end of the 18th century. It happened that one day he chased some boys who were tormenting him into a house where some frames used in stocking manufacture were kept. Unable to catch the boys, he vented his anger on the frames. Afterwards, whenever machinery was broken, it became a local joke to say that Ned Ludd had done it. The joke might have died out soon enough, but about 20 years later, when a band of Nottingham craftsmen took to breaking up machinery in a systematic way, their leader took the name of General Ludd, and his followers became known as Luddites, a name that spread, along with the movement, to other parts of the English Midlands. Here's where we come to the second forgetting. The modern myth holds that the Luddites were simply rioters who smashed the machinery in the vain belief that they could somehow hold back the tide of industrialization. And ever since then, people have invoked the word when they want to suggest an irrational resistance to technological change. It's got to the point where you can't criticize any technological development without first abjuring any Luddite intentions. I'm no Luddite, but it's become the loyalty oath of the Republic of Progress. The thing of it is that the Luddites were no Luddites either. It's true they destroyed machinery that enabled mill owners to replace them with women and children who worked 16-hour days for subsistence wages. This at a time when national unemployment was over 30% and poor relief was being drastically reduced. But what drove them to open rebellion was a series of legal measures that had stripped away their right to organize and eliminated the minimum wage. And even then, they were selective in their destruction. They spared the machines of mill owners who hadn't lowered their wages or who compensated men put out of work. The Luddites won some temporary victories in places like Nottingham, where the minimum wage was restored. But in the end, the movement was doomed when the full power of the state was arrayed against it. Parliament made the destruction of machinery a capital crime over the eloquent objections of Lord Byron. 12,000 troops were sent to the Midlands, more than Wellington had with him in the campaign against Napoleon. Some of the Luddites finished on the gallows, the rest went underground. Their story was rewritten as a lesson about the futility of trying to stand in the way of technological change. Of course, it's always been the victors who wrote the history books, but this time they wrote the dictionaries, too.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.